Hope you're having a great weekend. This is a special Saturday edition of Breakfast with Fossey and Brandy with some of the best bits from the weekday show. And on today's special weekend edition, Andrew.
Brandy, we have Penrith Panthers captain Nathan Cleary, Canterbury fanatic James Magnusson with his take on the Bulldogs mess, Leon Cameron following his departure as GWS Giants coach, his first weekend off in footy for something like 30 years. Roosters captain James Tedesco. But let's kick off with the New South Wales Blues coach Brad Fittler and Panthers legend Roy Simmons, who both joined us earlier this week to discuss Royce's charity walk for dementia and whether Freddie is considering the Bulldogs coaching gig.
You're listening to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Brandy, I've been looking forward to this all morning.
I'm just going to read a text message. Shane says, something positive this morning. I'm joining on the Royce's big walk. My aim is to do 50Ks and raise $500 for dementia awareness. I plan to walk around Brisbane's southwest region. So our next guest is on the real walk, Roy Simmons' big walk, which is starting in Goolagong. I think it kicks off at 7:30 this morning. And our next guest... well, we'll ask him whether he's going to be the Bulldogs' next coach. Pleased to say Brad Fittler joins us. Freddie, good morning.
Oh, sorry, mate. Late replacement. Royce Michael Simmons, yeah.
Hello, Simo.
Wow, Royce Simmons.
There we go. That's better. Simo, you're not coaching the Bulldogs next year, are you?
No, mate. No, I've had my turn. I wasn't very good at it.
Mate, you're embarking on a 300-kilometre walk. It's going to go from today to next Friday. You'll walk into Penrith next Friday for the Cowboys-Panthers clash at Bluebet Stadium, mate. Pretty impressive stuff, and you got a few blokes with you. Freddie is one of them. Who else is with you today?
Freddie and Andrew are with me today, Andrew Farah. So, former Carra boy himself, you know, out this way. So, as you said, we're walking from Goolagong to Carra today. Andrew come up last night and stayed with his mum and dad and caught up with them, which is good. And so they're both just doing an interview right now as we speak.
I think it's Andrew Farrah's birthday today too. So that's, if you're not aware, Roycey, I think you'll find it's... Andrew Farah, great rugby league man's birthday. Now, so Goolagong, just for those listening, Goolagong, you're a fair way north of Cowra, but there wouldn't be much between Goolagong and Cowra, so conversation will need to be good, Royce.
Well, it's 40K, so I think we'll run out of things to talk about after 25, I reckon.
Simo, you're raising money for Dementia Australia Research. You've already had a couple of fundraisers where... I think the Harbour Cruise a couple of Saturdays ago raised just on $300,000, which is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And St. Mary's Leagues Club the week before was $100,000. And we had the Harbour Cruise, as you said, with Lou Zivanovic from CABE, former old teammate, where you raised... $250,000, $300,000. It's been fantastic, then two functions we've had. And we've had a couple of little functions now out here as well. We've had a little one at Canoundra the other day, and we had one here at, well, when I say little, it's about 100 people at Canoundra, and here at Goolagong last night. I think the whole town was here. There's about 150 people at the function last night, and I think that's about how many people live at Goolagong. So it was... tremendous night, yeah, and Freddie joins me now, boys.
Hey, gents.
Hello, Freddie.
Oh. How are you?
We're good. Now, I spoke with you yesterday before you jumped in the car and drove out to Goolagong. So I hadn't seen the press reports about potential Bulldogs coaches, so I've got to ask you right up top. Are you a chance to coach the Bulldogs in 2023?
I'll be coaching the Blues in a couple of weeks. I think I'll stick to the Blues.
Okay.
Hang on. No, sorry. That wasn't. Brandy was saying, will you be coaching the Bulldogs in 2023? We are aware you are coaching the Blues. Brad, is there any... I'll put it this way. Is there any chance you will be coaching an NRL side next year?
Well, see, I've got one job at the moment. That's to walk with Royce. The next one is to coach the Blues in a couple of weeks.
Wow, there you go.
I don't know if you can finish the... Hey, I don't know if you can get the first one done yet, 40K.
40Ks. Have you done any sort of practice? Like, have you been walking around your 5 acres or what? No.
Well, you know what I said out one day, she may go, you better go and do some training. I thought, this is going to be boring. I'd rather be bored once and I'll just take it on with Simo. But I brought him a present. I brought him some earphones and he went to put them in. They wouldn't fit in his ear. So I'm going to have to talk to him the whole way.
Earphones that don't fit
They're
in your
ears. They're lovely ears. I wish you could see these ears, actually.
So it's Royce's ears, the problem, not the actual...
So it's not because the headphones would have a bit of you'd have to buy some pretty big headphones to fit over Simo's head too. So the ears are a problem, and the size of the melon.
Yeah. Basically, we won't be listening to music today.
Yeah. So when
I've been listening to a lot of crap. That's what I'm listening to.
Well, yeah, Simo, you got 11 days of it too, and at the end of the 11 days, or each day you. Each town you get to, there's a little function on that night, isn't there, each stop?
Yeah, one or two of them's not, but most of them are. And I want to do a good lurk tomorrow, but I've got Kurt Burnley coming with me tomorrow. I just sit on his lap tomorrow. And he can pedal me up the hills.
Yeah.
That would be a sight to see. Freddie, just, your work, I want you to sum up the man Roy Simmons, if you may, and he's standing there next to you. He's much loved by all in rugby league, but I want to hear what you have to say about the man standing next to you, Roy Simmons.
Yeah. Well, he is standing next to me. Makes it a little bit awkward, but there was just times when I was young and he gave me some direction, whether it was ripping an earring out, giving me abuse on a footy field, or training with me on our own, punching bags at Penrith Park. There was always... a touch of guidance, so I'm just glad I could help back.
The guidance wasn't really hard, like, get off the motorbike, you're on with no wearing a pair of thongs. I didn't have to be too educated to work out what I had to tell him.
You could tell pretty easy, Simo, that he might have been going down the wrong track, so you just pulled him back in the line.
Going? He was gone.
There was a few people on the side of the road for me. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Well, we'll let you go and concentrate on your walking and have a chat with Andrew Farrer. Simo, it's a great thing you're doing. I know I spoke at your Harbour Cruise on Saturday, a couple of Saturdays ago. Just what you meant to me, you know, as a young player, you were my captain for 8 years. A huge amount of respect always. And, hope you blokes enjoy the walk today. Right. And I'll be joining you, I think, next Wednesday, a bit closer to Penrith. Right.
And then you took the captain's me off me and won the premiership for the first time, you weak blood.
And we'll leave on that note.
Thank you, boys. Thanks for joining us.
Lovely say. And look, straight away, one of our listeners says, I've organised my first Panthers game of the year around supporting Royce's walk. So that's where it's going to finish. That's the plan. To come to the home game, Panthers Cowboys, which is Friday, May 27. Mm. That'll bring the house down.
Absolutely. Yes, it will.
You're listening to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
He was on our program last Wednesday morning. You know him as the Missile, but what you didn't know is that he's also part-time psychologist. And today, wearing a Bulldogs jersey, he comes in with a little pipe. And he's got some glasses on, looking very... And a stethoscope around his. I don't know what the stethoscope's for, but we can call him Doctor. It's like The Hangover. Yeah, you know, you're not a doctor. No, I'm a doctor. Dr. James Magnusson, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Vossie. Yes, I'm here. I'm feeling empathetic. I'm feeling sympathetic. I know what our listeners are going through, and I'm here to help them this morning.
Oh, what a terrific opening gambit that. We do have the sad music, Lieutenant Dane, do we not? Because this is the music that will accompany James's anytime he talks about the Bulldogs. So, James, how are you feeling? Trent Barrett gone, Bulldogs bottom of the table. How are you feeling?
Oh, look, anytime someone loses their job, it leaves an icky feeling. I feel sorry for Trent. But all in all, I think it was inevitable. The drums were beating last week and the performance against the Knights left us with nowhere to go, in my opinion. And now they're talking about player exodus, coaching staff exodus. So it looks like the whole joint's going to get cleaned out.
Thank you. sad, anytime you open your mouth and speak Bulldogs, sad music will accompany you. Now, look, here's what's happened. Like in the last 24 hours, things happen fast. Brent Naden leaves the club immediately to join the West Tigers and will line up against his old club this Friday. We'll discuss that in a moment in a little more depth, James. Our high-performance manager Dan Ferris is also a major victim in the football department clean-out, so he's gone. Consultant Steve Hansen, the former All Blacks coach, also likely to depart after criticising how the board handled Barrett's exit. So Steve Hansen, ta-da. Jack Hetherington, we're being told, is also likely to be another casualty of Barrett's departure. He's apparently been told he can go. He's currently on the injured list. Now, Andrew Webster wrote a piece in the Herald today, and you can see it online, about Paul Vaughan. Now, I'll get your opinion, James. I had to say yesterday, Paul Vaughan, having a little dig at the media as he drove out the other day, Andrew Webster wrote that Paul Vaughan is the type of player the Dogs don't need. And there's a great last line about, you know, the media was waiting there to do their job. Phil Gould came out to do his job and front the media. The media asked the questions and recorded that interview because they were doing their job. And Andrew writes at the end, Paul Vaughan, just do your damn job. Yeah, and that's pretty much it in a nutshell. A player having a crack. Do you think the players are accountable, James, at the Bulldogs? Do you think there's enough accountability for what you're seeing?
I don't. And it's all those effort things. They don't look fit. They don't look hungry for success. And from Paul Vaughan, it's quite amateurish. Like, that's something you'd expect from a young player who hasn't been around the traps and doesn't understand the relationship with the media. It's something that, you know, I went back and forth during my very early career trying to kind of get that mix between being respectful with the media and you know, having a working relationship. And it's something that you learn. The less tension there is between yourself and journalists, the more you just open up and be friendly with them, the better everyone will be for it. And from Paul Vaughan, he's had some run-ins with the media over the past 2 years, but surely that teaches you that it's better to have a working relationship than to be abrasive with those people that are going to be writing about you.
Yeah, well said. Look, I said yesterday, it was still one of the great tweets when Paul opens the winds down the car window to say to the journalist, do you have to be here? And someone tweeted, that would have been a good question when people knocked on his door at the barbecue last year. Do you have to be here? So I thought that was a great little shot back. On Brent Naden, now I tweeted last night that, And I stand by this, and I'm not trying to be a smartass either. I asked the question, what was the question at the Tigers where the answer was Brent Naden? That's what I tweeted, because it's not a case where the Bulldogs are paying any of Brent Naden's money. He asked for a release. Bulldogs are not stumping up any cash. Yeah. So you're not getting him bargain buy. You're not getting him just for the end of this year. You are now getting him for next year as well. So you've committed a top 30 roster spot for next year on Brent Naden, who in 8 matches for the Bulldogs wasn't that flash. Like, you know, 10 line or tackle busts,
yeah,
or whatever it was in
maybe
in
the question
matches.
They
you
were asking.
I mean?
Like, yeah, they may have been asking the question, is our completion rate too high? Maybe right. They want to add a bit of adversity to their football side.
Well, that's a spray.
Yes. He's had a rough start to his Bulldogs career, so I don't think it's a huge loss for the Bulldogs team. But they're just the masters of recruitment, the West Tigers. They always make these great signings that you kind of raise an eyebrow to, and then they inevitably unravel the way you kind of expect. So it's a strange one for mine.
Yeah, well, when the team running last make no effort to talk him out of leaving, doesn't that make you ask a question? See, and this is nothing personal. Forget the baggage that's in Brent Naden's career. We're over that. We've moved on.
Yeah.
But I would rather, and you tell me if I'm on the wrong, I would rather give opportunity to someone seeking opportunity in the NRL rather than give it to someone who's had an opportunity this year in the NRL and hasn't fired. So I'm talking about players like a Robert Jennings or a Isaac Lumi down at Melbourne, Semi Sawaluma up in the Queensland Cup. I know he's 30 now, but he's, you know, grand final up there last year. He's been one of their best players again this year for the Burley Bears. I mean, there's a whole Jordan Pereira is, you know, in the wings at the Broncos. Players like Tom Jenkins, young Tom Jenkins at Penrith, did someone inquire about him? He looks really good, but he's not going to get any opportunity anytime soon.
Yeah,
I'm looking at those sort of players looking for opportunity right now rather than a bloke who had an opportunity at the Bulldogs.
It seems like with the Tigers, as soon as something pops up, they jump at it rather than looking deeper and harder. We saw Ronald Volkman from the Roosters, super promising young player. The West Tigers and the Bulldogs have been struggling in the halves. Rather than look at reserve grade or New South Wales Cup, they seem to just jump at whatever pops up from an NRL side. So, yeah, puzzling one for mine. I don't think he solves any issues at the Tigers in their outside backs for mine.
Well, they're desperate. They've got a huge injury toll. And the Tigers fans on the social media, you know, upset. You don't acknowledge blah, blah. No, I am acknowledging that. I am. But now you have committed a top 30 roster spot for next year where you would hope you don't have an injury crisis. Brent Naden, he was the player you wanted, was he? Was he what you wanted? Well, you've got him. Now, if I'm wrong, I hope Brent Naden kills it at the Tigers. Fantastic. But Tigers fans want to hear from you. Bulldogs fans, you can assess him if you like. 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Last night on NRL 360, James Graham questioned why all the coaching chatter was around those without a current gig. He believes the Bulldogs should chase a contracted coach, such as Ricky Stewart or Todd Payton, to help the club rebuild. That's an interesting one. Yeah, well, you know, in some ways, everyone's available, aren't they, if you inquire? By the way, how did Brent Naden end up at the Tigers? Like, if he's under contract, how do they get a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, well, from what I read in the paper just earlier, he went to Gus yesterday and said, I want to play centre. Gus said, there's not an opportunity at centre for you. And his manager goes straight to the West Tigers off the back of that conversation. And the two clubs come to an agreement by 3:55, by 4 p.m.
Yeah, amazing.
He's named
amazing
within the Tigers lineup.
Yeah, he's named in the side.
And they're saying you'll probably play this weekend. One bright point out of that for the Bulldogs is that'll allow young Jacob Kyrros, who we saw playing the centres, straight into the top 30, and he'll probably come into the Bulldogs. Well, I hope he'll come into the Bulldogs' first grade side this weekend. So
you're speaking positive all of a sudden, James. So you're springing your step there. Yeah, that's good.
The morning caffeine's just hit me.
Professor Magnuson, doctor.
So there's a silver lining there.
You're listening to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Talk about VIP, Brandy. Have you got a little roll of red carpet we could put out here?
Yeah, we will roll the red carpet out. And it is the game of the round. The Roosters up against the Panthers. And online is the Penrith skipper, Nathan Cleary. Morning, Nath.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Good. Mate, how are you? How are you and how's the team? We've got Lieutenant Dan in here who's just come back from Magic Round. He's got the flu. Like, he's got the Magic Round flu. Has anyone picked up the Magic Round flu amongst the Penrith players? Or are we all fit and ready to go?
There's a couple just a little bit sick after the game, but I think everyone's pretty much back to normal now. We sort of had the flu go through last week, so hopefully it's over with and everyone can be healthy now.
Nat, is COVID, the COVID testing still the same as it was to start the year? What is the COVID testing process at the moment?
Yeah, so the COVID, do a RAT test every morning before we go into the building just to see if anyone's got COVID, and then we do it before the game as well. So it's still just a normal thing. It just becomes part of the routine now every day, and
All right. Well, let's hope no one develops any nasty red spots there at Penrith. Monkeypox has been a big story this morning, but we don't have a monkeypox. I don't know how the NRL would handle that. Nathan, just without notice, a question in relation to Magic Round, because it was a massive success, and I loved the Panthers players after the game. I loved you on run-on. You looked excited, you know, big crowd. I loved it. After the game, you're all talking about buzzing and the atmosphere and all of that. Would you be against a second Magic Round in a season? Obviously, that would mean clubs lose two home games, but would you be against that idea? It's such a success. Are we right with one, or do you think we could stretch it out to two Magic Rounds across the season?
Yeah, I wouldn't be against it. I think it's a really cool concept. I know all the boys absolutely love playing in it. It's just it's a fun weekend as well. You sort of bump into other players. You see a lot of fans up there. Everyone seems happy. I don't know if you do another one, whether that takes a bit of the spark off it. But, you know, I think another one maybe in New Zealand or something somewhere down the track would be pretty sick. I think I people over there would love it too. So probably something to look at. But I love the concept. It's a fun weekend, and yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think if you did two per year, you'd have to mix up the venues. You wouldn't do two a year in Brisbane. And if you did one in Brisbane, take one to New Zealand or down into Melbourne. I think we could squeeze two in. Now, this weekend's match, it is a big one, isn't it? And it's been a big month or 3 weeks. Eels, Storm, into the Roosters. And the Roosters found a bit of form last week, didn't they, against the Eels?
Yeah, the Roosters looked really good. And, you know, you look at their team and they're absolutely star-studded. They got a great side and great players littered through it. And, you know, they played really well against Para. They started on fire, so... Yeah, it's a massive game for us this week, and we're just constantly looking to improve, and we're going to have to this week too.
Now, we spoke about the kicking games post Magic Round, and we looked at some of the kicking games from the key men, Adam Reynolds, yourself, Mitch Moses. Do you think kicking is there more importance on kicking even this year than there has been in previous years, and do you have to come up with new ways to kick the ball just to keep up with what other teams are doing that?
Yeah, I think you got to be constantly, evolutionising sort of the way you kick. I think teams start to work out the positions you get in, what sort of kick you want to do, and they put more pressure on, or they, you know, they get more people around the ball in certain areas. So you got to kind of change it up here and there. I think keeping it basic most of the time is usually the key, though. I think you just got to add a few different things in as you go. Adam Reynolds has been outstanding. I think he's changed the way his kicking game has definitely changed from when he was at South. He's got a few more trick shots and he's pulling them off really well. So, I think it's always a big part of the game and something you've got to be constantly working at and trying to improve where you can.
All right, I'm going to try to get an answer out of you here. Going to probe a little here. It's a little deep. And it's a bit almost like a threefold question. Were you a better team last year for having played in the grand final in 2020? Now we get to 2022. Are you a better side for having won the comp in 2021? And then the last part of the question is, how much more improvement is left in this Penrith team in your own mind, Nathan? Or do you think that you're at the peak of your powers now?
It's a hard one to say in terms of where we're at now compared to where we're at last year. I think in terms of the fact that now we've lost the grand final, we've also won one. I think that can only sort of help us just with experience. That'll probably come later down the track in a few bigger games. It's probably easier to answer that question then. But I think we're tracking really well. I think the mentality we have is definitely the same as last year in terms of the hunger and wanting to get back there. And sorry, what was the last question?
Yeah, that was a long question. I was wondering what the second part was too.
How much more improvement is it now that you went from being beaten grand final side to premier, now you're defending premier. Do you think the side gets even better? Do you sort of have in your own head, we can get 10, 20% better than where we're at?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I think, I think perfection saying that you can always chase, but I don't think you can ever really be perfect. So there's always areas to get better at. We definitely feel that amongst the group. And I think individually, everyone feels their own responsibility to try and get better. But then, as a group, we feel the same way. So it's a cool thing to be a part of. It makes training fun, very competitive. Everyone's always wanting to, get better and try and improve. So,
I
think we've still got a way to go.
Well,
scary for the other teams, Brandy.
Just a couple of quick ones while we're probing, Andrew. I'll probe. I'll go a little. Yes, teammate you most like hanging around, and one that you is tough to handle, like the most annoying. So good and bad, bit of yin and yang.
I'll say Mitch Kenny's good to hang around. He's always a good laugh. He's always got good stories as well. And Liam Martin's, he's a bit of a pest. So.
What about this one? Yeah. Former great that hangs around the club that's a bit of a pest.
I don't know.
Is there one of those? Nah, Brandy's all right. He's good.
Breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't thinking Brandy. Oh, that's interesting. I wasn't thinking Brandy.
Thank you, Nat. Yeah. Yeah, don't tumble into Andrews.
How is your dad with a knee infection? I mean, it's been, you know, they're not lopping the leg off, are they? It's not monkeypox, is it? I mean, I'm sorry to bring that into
play. He hasn't got a red rash too, has he?
he's all right. He's still struggling a little bit. I think it's just taking longer than what he thought it would, so he's been a bit frustrated, but he's slowly on the mend, and hopefully he can get to the game this weekend.
Beautiful. Let's hope he gets to the game, yes. That's right, he's missed both, hasn't he? Missed the Eels
missed
and...
He's been devastated. Yeah,
tough.
Texter, your dad, like, does he text messages then to the players, or it's all FaceTime these days? How's it worked with him communicating with the team?
Well, we had a team meeting when we got up to Brisbane, and he just came in on FaceTime. And then during the game, he just sort of rings into the coach in the box whenever he feels like he needs to say anything. So it's nothing too high tech, but he gets a message across.
Okay. I think I saw the dressing room shot after the game. The phone was being held in the corner, was it not? Yeah. I assume that's Ivan on FaceTime, so he's there as part of the team, yeah?
Yeah. So that was cool.
Thanks for your time, Nat. All the best against the Roosters Saturday night. Appreciate it.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Stay healthy. Don't eat bananas. That's great stuff. Nathan Cleary on Breakfast with Vossie and Brent. That is scary, though, when he's speaking in such rational terms. They're having fun. They're challenging themselves at training. They can get better, Brandy. Lock them in then to win the premiership, if that's the case.
Yeah. It's a long year.
Outside of Melbourne, no one's going to catch them.
Yeah, I think, Andrew, those the four players that they lost after the grand final, you thought that there was going to be a little lull in there. Well, you know, what they could do, but there hasn't. It's been a great start, but it's a long year.
Great to talk to premiership winners. In a moment, we'll speak to a premiership winner in Paige Hadley from the New South Wales Swiss. As we go to a break, a bit of a traffic report here from Roseville Bridge. Drew's been on the text driving down to Roseville Bridge. There's 2 kilometres of people holding Vote One boards, waving at traffic. One rogue person was up a tree beating their chest, waving. Pretty sure he had monkeypox. There's monkeypox. He's got people fearful.
You're listening to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
All righty. Well, last weekend was quite a moment for the GWS Giants. It was the end of the Leon Cameron era. Now, Leon Cameron first came into the coaching ranks at the Giants in 2013. He first came into the coaching ranks in the AFL full stop way back in 2004. And this weekend, he's got the weekend off. So it's been a long time in a football season to be having a weekend off. But 10 years at the Giants. Now, the Giants put out on social media an absolutely outstanding behind-the-scenes look at Leon's last day in charge of the Giants. And I can't imagine what it was like to be in his shoes, having to deliver the last pre-match address of his time at the club. But here's just a snippet, as posted by the GWS Giants media.
10 years. I was appointed at this footy club to come here and make a difference. And ultimately, hold up some silverware. That's the main aim when you become a senior coach. You want to guide a footy club to hold up some silverware. That hasn't happened. But I don't have regrets, boys. I don't have any regrets. What has happened is you guys. I've got relationships in here from coaches, staff and players that will last a long time, will last a lifetime. So today we play. We play the game we love. We play the game that we're supposed to play. And as I said, probably day one, she's on today. Let's go.
Spine-tingling stuff. I mean, he has the respect of everyone across AFL, but that was...
See, I wouldn't be able to hold it together. If I was delivering that, and, you know, knowing how important something is to someone and delivering it the last time, I think he did well just to hold it together.
Well, let's bring him on the program right now. I don't know, is he planning to mow the lawn this weekend, do a bit of shopping? We'll find out. That's how interesting the interview may become. Leon Cameron has been good enough to spare us some time this morning. Welcome to the program, Leon.
G'day, guys. How are you?
We're very well. Can we ask you right off the top, that last pre-match address, did it just happen? Is it something you thought about all week? What should I say? How long should it go? Did you just let your heart go rather than your head? How did it all come about?
Look, it's probably sometimes you want to, you know, worry about it too much. And so in the end, leading up to the game the last couple of days, I just thought, well, wherever it takes us, takes us. And because sometimes you can sort of preempt too much and then you get tangled up a little bit. But, yeah, it was pretty simple in the end. And it was emotional. I mean, guys, you probably, you're hearing it and seeing it a little bit, but it was a bit emotional. But, I mean, 10 years is a, you know, long time. I mean, there's lots of coaches been, you know, longer, but 10 years is a long time and it's a different club because we've had to start up from scratch and a lot of people have moved up from Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia to start up the footy club. So it was sort of like one of those things where, like, you're leaving the family a little bit. So that's probably how the speech probably came across.
Yeah. And as you said right at the top, Leon, you said, you know, you join a footy club to make a difference, and then that difference is silverware. You know, 2019, you came close. You were in the final series for a bunch of seasons from 2016 to 2021. But there's no silverware, so do you think you made a difference?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely. And I think it's always one of those really good debates, either at the end of every year, whether it's AFL, NRL, basketball or soccer, you know, the big key sports that we follow. And you go, okay, did the coach help take the team to some silverware? Or do you leave the place in a really good spot? I mean, clearly our ultimate aim is that, you know, we want to win a flag and we shouldn't be getting up every morning trying to do that. So we didn't get that, but there were so many other aspects that I'd like to think that we can judge ourselves on, and that's you know, really good foundation, you know, for future success. A number of players that have stayed up here that are probably on the verge in the first two or three years were getting really big offers to go back home after getting beaten by 100 points every week. That was really tough because, you know, the lure of going back home for a number of players is there. But we got over that hump and we kept a lot of those players at original Giants that started 10 or 11 years ago. So for that to happen is a huge milestone. You know, to build a training facility, to make sure we build 30,000 members. I mean, so many things go on, but I mean, clearly one of the big things we'll be missing will be that premiership that we were chasing, and we missed out in basically from 16 to 21. We were there, but we weren't good enough.
Now, Leon, let's get personal. Are you a little lost this weekend? I ask that in all honesty. Like, is it relief? Is it, oh, this is good, I got the weekend off? Or now that the weekend is right upon us and tonight, you know, the round will start and Carlton will play the Swans and there's plenty of big games and when the Giants ran on Sunday, what are you doing? Are you watching TV? Are you just going to switch off? Are you a little anxious? How do you feel?
It's a good question. I think the rain saved me from doing the lawns, mate. I think you suggested good. That earlier. So, I think watching on Sunday when the Giants take the Eagles, it'll be a bit strange. I mean, I am looking forward to the footy, school footy for my boy Harry tonight, and then Jack's basketball and Amelia's. We've got a, you know, dad-daughter dinner for school tomorrow night, which clearly, you know, sometimes you just can't go to those things. So there's lots of things that you can that are going to fill the spot and fill the time up that I would normally take out for footy. But there is no doubt as the sort of weeks go on, there'll be a little bit of anxiousness there, a little bit of excitement, there'll be a little bit of nervousness because of going, okay, you know, well, you know, what's next? What happens in your life? So that'll all those sort of different feelings will come through my head over the next two or three weeks. But in the end, I think what's real important is that I get to probably, you know, be a normal husband and dad for a little while, which is, you know, I'm looking forward to.
And I guess, what, 10 years and your kids are at school, you've been up here for 10 years now. Do you stay in Sydney? Leon, you're a Melbourne boy.
Yeah. Yeah, look, yeah, I mean, we've been had 34 years straight from playing into coaching. So it's a long time without a spell. And it's what I know. I know football. So that's going to be really interesting. I'd absolutely love to, because we're embedded in Sydney. We've been here for the best part of 10 years. We like you know, what we do here. My wife's settled, I'm settled. And but in saying that, you've also got to look at what do I do? So that's the nervousness about it, but also the excitement, and something that no doubt over the coming months I'll be pondering and seeing where that leads to.
Yeah. That's the real human side, because you mentioned the kids and, you know, they're in school, important parts of their lives. I mean, that's something that we don't think about. We, the fans, do not think about when a coach suddenly is not in his job and then is looking elsewhere, that, you know, the family, you know, decisions that have to be made behind closed doors. Leon, can I ask you some real AFL questions here? And one that the fans probably want to know, a lot of people. Would Alistair Clarkson be a good fit at the GWS Giants?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And as I sort of, you know, we said at the start of the year, I mean, the next coach of the Giants was either going to be, you know, myself for, you know, a 3 or 4 year stint and beyond. So when you make that appointment, it's not just another year, because it's sort of like you're hanging on. And so that's why we push contract talks at the end of the year. And clearly, you know, we get halfway through and it sort of hasn't worked to that plan. So, in terms of the next coach, I mean, that's a real interesting one, because, you know, you're not only just dealing with, you know, just coaching the team, you're dealing with, you know, a 10-year club that's, you know, trying to get into the market of Western Sydney and Canberra and all those surrounding areas. And, you know, I'm really proud that, you know, we've got to that 30,000 members mark, but we need to continue to grow. I mean, look at our rivals in the Swans. I mean, you know, they're up to probably 60-odd thousand members. I mean, they've been there an extra 20, 25 years and longer than us, but you need to continue to grow. You guys know the market as well as I do in terms of sport. They want a winner up here. You want to be able to win, because there's so many other things that you can do in Sydney. And so finding that right person, you know, whether that's, you know, like I really endorse the Mark McVay, who steps in for the next 13 rounds. He's a terrific kid and, terrific person. And he's a New South Wales person, and he's been at our footy club for 9 years, and there's no doubt he'll make a really good impact in the remaining part of the year. But the club are going to search, you know, far and wide, and so they should, to find the best person that can fit in, whether that's Clarko or Mark McVay or someone else. I'm sure
James Hurd,
the right
can we say, is James Hurd a legitimate candidate?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think clearly because of you know, he's stepped back into football and his role at our footy club in leadership and helping out Mark. And there's always going to be that speculation. I don't, you know, think probably James probably even knows exactly what he wants to do yet. He's been involved in business for the last 6 or 7 years at a really good rate. But there's no doubt that footy bug would sit inside him thinking, well, do I want to get back involved? So I'm pretty sure that these experiences that he's using at the moment will probably help determine that decision for him by the end of the year.
Well, Leon, it sounds to me like you are not ready to say goodbye to AFL either. I think you'll be very much in demand yourself. I know you're humble, but I'm pretty sure something's, and there's going to be a few knocks on your door, but enjoy the interim period. Enjoy going to kids' sport and events at the school, because it mightn't last long. Leon, really appreciate you coming on the program. And on behalf of, you know, sports fans in Sydney, thank you for your contribution to the Giants.
No, I really much appreciate it, guys. And hopefully it continues to rain, so I have to stay in the garden. So we'll be okay. So,
Leon, if it's raining outside, just have the day off, mate. I'm generally handing out days off, so yeah, just take it away.
No, much appreciated. Much appreciated.
Good on you. Thanks for joining us.
Leon Cameron, and fascinating insight there into a man that's been there at the Giants for the last 10 years. And he's right. When he talks about his stint in AFL, he went straight from playing to coaching. So retired in 2003, having played, 256 games. Then went straight into coaching the
big
next
career
season, and has been there until this weekend. That is an incredible stint of football season after football season after football season. Leon Cameron, right here on 1170 SEN.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Leon Cameron there, and that's all in this special edition of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Don't forget to tune in to the show on Monday from 6 a.m. You won't want to miss our Monday regulars, Cameron Smith and Matty Johns. Tune in through 1170 SEN or via the SEN app.